Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to a Wednesday, March 20th edition of the Sports Ethos NBA DFS Today podcast. I'm your host, Harris, and I've got my guy, Ramiz, as we are back on the grind on a Wednesday, dealing with hump day to take on an 8-game slate that's going to be gracing us with its presence here. And, you know, in many ways, similar to the slate that I went solo on yesterday, we're seeing a lot of games here with some really, well, let's just say, significant spreads as far as a number of them are concerned. Just looking at seven out of the 8 games here, they're all at either 8 points or more. Really just the one Miami and Cleveland game, which is potentially expected to be a close one, given what we're seeing as far as the spreads themselves are concerned. But then that is mitigated by the fact that their totals are not great. So just a interesting slate and a fun way to be able to really get into the nitty gritty of it. But Ramiz, I mean, I'm sure you've taken a quick look at the slate over here and gotten your ideas. But you know, how are things going on your side, and how is kind of your thoughts when it comes to something like this, where you got 8 games and a lot of potential blowouts?
It's usually tough, but obviously, I mean, I guess you can kind of go to this, like the normals. Of course, we got a game featuring Indiana, so I'm always assuming the pace is going to be high. And of course, with down the late, I guess there's been quite a few injuries and I guess questionable situations. So I guess you're going to have to go for some bold picks, I guess, and take chances.
True enough. Boldness is exactly where I operate. At its absolute core. But if you want to be bold and at the same time have the stats to back it up, you need to get yourself onto that Sports Ethos DFS pass. So not only can you keep yourself in the know with the live injury report, all of our amazing DFS content, including the DFS delivery, our pick'ems, and of course, this podcast here. And then you also get access to our Discord, where you can go ahead and ask the pros all the way up until lineup lock, just exactly what is going to make all the difference in the world when you do have scenarios like this, where it may not be a time to just go all studly on your picks over here. Maybe with some of these potential blowouts or some of these potential injuries, there's other ways to look into it. And let's start on our side looking into it as well, jumping right into the point guard situation over here. And to me, it's really all about what I'm seeing as far as price adjustments are concerned. You would have noticed that we got a couple of teams that are going on back-to-backs over here. And for example, I take a look at Cade Cunningham, who has been on an interesting kind of arc as far as his prices are concerned. He had gotten himself all the way up into kind of the mid to high 8,000s just earlier in this week. But then two kind of meh games, I guess you can say, has brought him all the way down to 7,900 over here, which to me is the perfect Cade price tag. Now, he had a really bad shooting night. In fact, two bad shooting nights against the Miami Heat. But I'm really not all that, you know, fussed about getting into some of a matchup like that, where we know Miami is a pesky defensive team. It's definitely not going to be a high scoring game. And at the same time, their perimeter defense in general is going to specifically look to stifle someone like a Cade Cunningham. So just for him to still come out with, you know, matchups where he ended up in kind of the mid to high 30s as far as DK points are concerned, that to me is a win. And now going up against the Indiana Pacers in a matchup where, of course, the Pacers, even though they're away, are favored to win pretty comfortably over here. You know, Cade's going to get his minutes. You know, Cade's going to get his usage. And in a matchup like Indiana, where he has already played them three times this season, averaging 50% from the field, 37% from three, and a perfect 9 of 9 from the free throw line. Not that you want to look too much into that, but that's some pretty slick splits as far as his numbers are concerned. And he's put up 45 DK points a night there. So I do expect that he is going to have a similar output coming into this game as a point guard. I think he's in a great position to be able to go ahead and put up some pretty solid numbers with the opportunity to be able to get into those high 40s as far as his upside is concerned. So 6X is definitely on the mark there. Looking at some of the mid-tier guys over here, and I'm still more than happy to stick with kind of what we've been seeing over the last little bit from Delano Banton, even though he didn't start that last game against the Portland Trailblazers with Scoot back and some of the Portland Trailblazers getting a little bit healthier. He still found himself playing 33 minutes. And even though he didn't get nearly as many shots as you might have potentially expected, I do think that we're going to see a little bit more of that in this Clippers-Portland game, where, again, the advantage that the Delano Banton has is his size as a backcourt player. And for him to be able to go up against a combination of, you know, either a Harden on one side or, you know, some of the other bench units that they're going to be going ahead throwing out there, Bones Highland and the like, he's going to likely have a pretty decent matchup advantage. And it might actually be better for him to be able to come off the bench and be a little bit more instant offense for them. So I expect that he'll get more shot attempts than he did in the last game, still get the same kind of minutes. And for someone sitting at 5,600, he gives you the upside to be able to get into the mid to high 30. So I do like him as a pick there. And then finally, I almost feel kind of excited slash obligated to be able to go ahead and do this, but Kyle Lowry still showing he's got a little bit more oomph in the tank over the last little bit. Since that move to Philly, he's definitely taken on a more, I want to say, aggressive role as far as his production is concerned. We saw him be, you know, a lot more passive when he was playing earlier in the season. But now in this Philadelphia team, obviously with Embiid out, he is being asked to be that little bit more involved as far as the offense is concerned, and also just to play a lot more minutes than what we were seeing kind of earlier on in the season. So the fact that he got all the way up to 35 minutes in that last game against Miami, where Philly picked up a very, very solid win for where they're at the moment with obviously all of their health concerns. I expect he'll get another opportunity to be able to do the same thing in this Phoenix matchup as well. And at 4,800 for a guy who can give you a 30 on a pretty kind of decent stat line, doesn't really need anything mind-blowing for him to do that. And he wouldn't necessarily have to put up 14, 15 points to be able to do it, given the fact that he is likely to be able to rack up some assists. Probably one of my preferred value plays for the price tag that he's at.
Interesting picks. You know, out of all the point guards, I was thinking I was going to be safe by choosing a Cade Cunningham, thinking you might have gone for a Tyrese Maxey or a Dame, but of course, we ended up with the same point guard. I think I mentioned, of course, a game featuring Indiana. I guess I could always assume the pace is going to be high. You already made some great points. I mean, his past games going against a team like Indiana. And of course, he hasn't been, I guess, hitting like around the high 50s like he was like a week ago, or even in the 40s. Like, he's probably been around the 30s, which is kind of why I thought it would be kind of an under-the-radar pick. But I guess you also found him as a gem. So at 7,900, I do really like that price because I think it allows me to go spend up in some other position while still maintaining a solid player in Cade Cunningham at that price tag. Mid-tier area, I decided to go with a player in the same realm, I want to say, as Delano Banton in terms of price-wise, and that's Bruce Brown at 5,600. Of course, Emmanuel Quickly is out for this Wednesday game against Sacramento due to personal reasons, and I think it's going to be either Bruce Brown or Javon Freeman Liberty. I decided to go with Bruce Brown at 5,600 because I think at point guard, he's had some great games. He's been pretty aggressive, especially as of recently. He's kind of back into, now I'm going to say back into the Denver Nuggets form that he was, of course, but he's still been like racking up solid stat lines. Of course, in the past week, he's been able to get
I want to say on average like 30 DK fantasy points. Last game struggled against the Orlando team, but that is a more defensive minded team. Against Sacramento, maybe he can be more comfortable. Of course, there's no rim protectors, I want to say paint stoppers. Of course, the bonus is solid, but he's not considered a rim protector. So I think Bruce Brown should be more able to play his game in terms of attacking, dribble penetration, and hopefully just getting everyone else involved. I wouldn't expect a high assist game, but like I said, he can fill up the stat line at 5,600. I think it's a solid price to go for. And then lastly, my budget pick. I decided to go with a interesting bold pick, like I said, and that was Patty Mills at 3,100. For Miami, this Miami Cleveland game is going to be pretty interesting because I don't know how many of the guards are missing. I think on Miami side, you have Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, all absent. So I think Patty Mills would probably take a good minutes, I want to say, in this game. Against Philadelphia, he had 22 minutes, which is pretty nice to see for a guy who's only priced at like 3,100. So you're hoping he gets a team like Cleveland who might not have a Donovan Mitchell. So perhaps they may have to play some smaller lineups, and Patty Mills might get the opportunity to play again. But obviously, don't expect too much from a 3,100 player. But he had 6 shots, 5 three-point attempts, only hit 1 shot, but 22 minutes of play, I think definitely would be an opportunity for him to maybe expect to, like, hopefully get around 15 to 20 DK fantasy points, which I think is a really great stat line to kind of get from him when he's priced at 3,100.
Fair enough. You know, I thought I was making a reach for someone back from the dead when I was going for Kyle Lowry this time around, but man, you went all the way to the other dimension and grabbed the corpse of Patty Mills and brought him back onto the court over here to go ahead and bring him out as a DFS pick here. I'm going to go ahead and say that is definitely GPP only. Do not look to do that in the cash side of things, but hey, you never know when it comes to Patty Mills, and if he can get hot, we know just exactly what that little Aussie is capable of. Going into the shooting guard side of things, this is where I am looking a little bit more into that kind of more expensive picks to be able to look. Obviously, we've looked more into the mid-tier with what we were seeing in that first point guard slot here. Moving into the shooting guards, I'm starting with Paul George at the top over here at 8,400. Obviously, that Portland game is one of those where it is going to be it's going to be a blowout. You know it's going to be. The reality is Paul George is likely not going to have to play anywhere between 38 to 40 minutes in this game. But what I am hoping for is just 32 to 33 minutes of him just be able to go out and go ham on these guys, as he has done so far in this season. 2 games, averaging 46 DK points in 36 minutes in that time, shooting 52% from the field, 40% from 3, 7 assists, and 5.5 rebounds to go alongside 23.5 points. So not, I said, anything outworldly as far as his stat line is required, but just some quiet efficiency to be able to go ahead and put up what could be a very solid night. And to Paul George's credit, he's really getting back into the groove of his offense over the last little bit, especially in the last 3 games where he's averaging a little over 47 DK points in that time as well. So lots to like for his price tag, a guy in that 8,000, low 8,000 price range, who always has the capability to be able to drop 50 if he does have a decent offensive night. And as far as I said, the Clippers are concerned, they're obviously in a different mindset of where they're trying to get to and keep themselves as healthy as possible for the playoffs. But that also means that you want to keep Paul George in as much form as possible leading into some of these key games down the stretch, and especially going into the postseason. So for Paul George to keep seeing the bottom of the net with his shots, that's exactly what we want to see as far as Clippers are concerned. And as far as the fantasy owners side of things as well, that price tag gives you a lot to like as far as upside is concerned. I'm going a little bit further down into the mid-tier side of things, and you already mentioned one Toronto Raptor with Bruce Brown, but I think in general, this is going to be a pretty safe spot to be able to take pretty much most of the starting lineup as far as Toronto is concerned. But I think that's going to go first and foremost with Gary Trent over here, who is sitting at 6,100 coming into this matchup. And, we've seen in the last little bit now that with everyone else kind of being out there, it's almost as if Gary's forced to be that little bit more aggressive on the offensive end, put up more shots and put up more three-point attempts in that time as well. Over the last four games, he's had two 30-point games in that, nothing below 15. And he's consistently played 30-plus minutes in that time without a single real dud for what his current price is sitting at. So I expect with Emmanuel Quickley out, with RJ Barrett also listed as being out for this game as it stands, I think it's just going to be a tough time for anyone else to be able to kind of get the kind of upside and stats that Gary Trent will have the capability of getting. And I think he's going to be a pretty popular pick for his position and his price, but it's for good reason. And I would definitely be looking to get a decent amount of exposure for him in a Sacramento matchup where Toronto always keeps it close. We know it's going to be a close game. Don't listen to that 9.5 stat, the 9.5 spread as far as that game is concerned. In Sacramento, the Raptors have consistently gone there and taken games all the way to the end, usually having a lead and then giving it away. But that's a different situation. But 232 points total over here is the second highest of the night, only behind at the moment the Utah Jazz and the Thunder, which are really only half a point above that as well. So one of those matchups of focus where you can get some pretty good stats there. And I think that also extends into my value pick on here as well, which is someone who has been in the media for some interesting jersey swaps over the last week. We have Grady Dick at 4,700, who, if you guys didn't see, swapped his jersey with Anthony Black, and that's as far as I'm going to say about that in terms of what we saw on the pictures on there. But for him, it's really a matter of getting more of his offense going. He's obviously not had a great bunch of games shooting for the last three of them, not getting above 36% from the field in that time. But he has gotten double-digit shot attempts in two of those three games, and he's consistently played high 20-plus minutes as far as his time on the floor is concerned. So it's really just a matter of time before he gets a little bit more of his other side going as far as offense is concerned, as well as just being able.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Able to rack up some ancillary stats just because of the fact that he is out there. So he's definitely a little bit more of a GPP pick, where I'd say Gary Trent is just a great pick all around. But Grady Dick does still give you that upside to be able to drop somewhere in the 30s, similar to what he did against Denver a couple of nights back.
Interesting picks. We don't have too many similar picks. I mean, I guess we'll see about that. But starting at my upper tier player, I decided to go with Desmond Bane. This guy has come back for two games and has not looked like he's lost his game at all, because he's back into getting around 40 DK fantasy points. Averaging around 19 to 17 field goal attempts, which is good to see. Playmaking. And last but not least, going against a Golden State Warriors matchup, where I think Golden State Memphis is always a great matchup to watch. Of course, they're not at the same level as they were last time they faced off in that exciting playoff matchup. But overall, I think Desmond Bane has shown that he hasn't lost his touch at all, and he's kind of been waiting on this moment to kind of come back and hoop. Against Golden State, of course, Golden State has been a completely different team past All-Star break, defensive-wise as well. But I think Draymond is questionable, so I think it will matter on that. But also, Memphis is generally a different team when they play with Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. So I think, regardless, I think this will be a great game, and hopefully Desmond Bane can continue his streak of this hopefully hooping and getting around 40 DK fantasy points, because I really like that price tag of 8,100 mid-tier. Like I said, we had one similar pick in this situation, which was Gary Trent Jr. Of course, you spoke pretty highly about him, because with the absence of RJ Barrett and Quickley, you're expecting Trent to probably take the most shots out of the team. Of course, also contract year, and it's coming down to the last few games. So
And especially because he's in great form, and we know when Trent is in great form, he's honestly a really great player. It's just a matter about consistency, if you can keep on playing at that level. And I guess Sacramento, like you said, we've had great competition against them, and they don't really have, I want to say, lockdown defenders as well. So I think Gary Trent Jr. should be able to operate to his spots. And 6,100 doesn't seem like a price that kind of scares me away. Of course, like I said, he is a cold or hot type player. So you're taking that chance. But honestly, if he starts hitting his shots, you can expect it to be a really, really great game from him. And you're automatically going to exceed the value that he's priced at. And the last but not least, I decided to go with, a point guard, shooting guard player. And that's Andrew Nembhard at 4,300. Just really like him in this type of matchup because I think he's kind of one of those players who operates in both areas in terms of if the game is competitive. I think he's going to have a role to play in it if the game is a blowout. I still think he's going to play a good amount of minutes because he's still a young guy and he's been playing a whole solid amount of minutes. I think he's been, I want to say, sometimes closing as well. Been playing around 30 minutes. So he's definitely been active. Of course, he hasn't quite, I want to say, reached around that mark that you would think he should be able to reach. Of course, it comes down to his shot making, which he sometimes does struggle to do. But other than that, I mean, he sometimes has those games where he can get you around like a few rebounds, a few assists, and nothing too special. But at 4,300, in this matchup, I think you have a great chance of probably exceeding that 25 DK fantasy points, maybe getting around 30. So, yeah, as my budget pick, I'm going for Andrew Nembhard.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say Nembhard has let me down hard a couple of times so far as going ahead and throwing him out there. But hey, if he can go ahead and do exactly what you're saying, because I believe the same thing. I think he has the upside and the opportunity to be able to do well. It's just he hasn't so far, which has obviously been a little bit frustrating when he does have those down nights. But as you said, with that price tag, you have a little bit of cushion that, you know, even if he doesn't have a great night, he's not going to just absolutely destroy you as far as a lineup is concerned. Moving on to the small forward side of things here. And again, it's a bit of a conundrum here for me because, to be honest, I do like Jason Tatum at his price tag. In fact, taking a look at some of the other kind of stud picks on here, the fact that you have Tatum sitting under 10,000 is always going to be something of interest to me. But at the same time, he's kind of been off this year as far as that Milwaukee matchup has been concerned, and which is interesting because in previous years, he's actually done really well in it. And in fact, if I recall, last year he had a couple of 60 DK point games against them as well. So the fact that he's had two games now where he's averaged 29 DK points between there, it's definitely going to be one of those where people are going to be somewhat hesitant to be able to take him. But I do believe in him in that matchup. I believe that Boston, with Jaylen Brown also being potentially questionable on here, we'll have to see what the final injury report does look like. But I expect that Tatum is going to be, you know, wanting to put a little bit of his mark on this matchup, given the fact that, you know, if everything kind of works out as you potentially expect, this is a potential conference final matchup that Boston's looking at coming up against Milwaukee over here. So, you know, for Tatum to not be able to kind of be his regular dominant self in that, it's kind of off. And I expect that this is going to be one of his opportunities to be able to go ahead and do that and get back on track at home. Now, it's obviously a defensive matchup, especially with Chris Middleton back and everyone kind of fully healthy, even if on somewhat minutes restrictions. We'll have to see what ends up happening as far as the matchup is concerned. But the only real question mark as far as Tatum is his own kind of consistency in this matchup here. But at the price tag, I think you have to take the option if you have enough money to be able to go ahead and get him in there. And given some of the other options that we're looking at so far with the point guards and shooting guards, I mean, you're seeing that there is a lot of upside in some of these mid-tier, value-tier options. So it may be worth taking that because even if, you know, kind of everything else isn't necessarily the greatest night as far as Tatum is concerned, between him and a couple of other potential options, they're likely going to be in the mix for the highest DK points on the night there. So I'll be a little bit contrarian perhaps, but I'm taking Tatum on there. Looking at the mid-tier side of things, if I'm not necessarily going for Tatum, I may find myself going a little bit more towards that Siakam side of things. Now, he doesn't necessarily in this Indiana offense and his current kind of role have the same kind of upside that he did have while he was on Toronto, but we have seen a little bit more of that kind of regression towards a more positive and aggressive being over the last two games. He even had a 50 points night come up pretty recently there as well. And for a guy who's still sub 8,000, who will, even just on season averages, end up somewhere close to a 40 DK points, that's always a pretty nice and safe pick to be able to take. And he definitely warrants a lot of consideration in cash games. But with even in GPP, he does give you enough of an upside, especially in a Detroit matchup, which is going to be, as you said, all systems go, not much defense being played. And even if it is potentially a bit of a blowout, it should be enough time for Siakam to go ahead and put up the kind of numbers that hopefully will make it a pretty solid pick for that price tag. And then as far as the value side of things are concerned, there's actually two picks here that I think could be pretty interesting to be able to go ahead and jump into. First of all, looking at the Memphis Grizzlies over here with Jake LaRavia, who has over the last two games really found himself in a pretty decent role as far as not only offense is concerned, but also just being able to find himself on the floor over here. And given the fact that Memphis is always going to be in a bit of a, I want to say, it's not even rebuild at this point. This entire year has just been a bit of a write-off for them. But we know that Williams is potentially questionable for this game over there. And also Santi Aldama is also questionable for the game. And if any of those guys are sitting out, that's just going to mean a lot more minutes for Jake LaRavia. And for someone at 4,600 to be able to have potentially 40 minutes to be able to play on the floor the way he did in that Sacramento game, that will obviously give you the upside of 30 plus over there. Even if he is not necessarily putting up, 13, 14 shots a game, he'll be able to get you enough boards and a smattering of assists, steals, and blocks to be able to make that happen. And I do like him for that price tag. And then a little bit more, as you can say, risky, but also with some potential upside as well, is the fact that Ochai Agbaji is likely going to get another starting opportunity with the Toronto Raptors, as he did in the last two games against Orlando. Hasn't necessarily just killed it as far as his shot making or just pure DK points production has been, but 34 minutes, 31 minutes is nothing to sneeze at. Neither is 9 and 10 field goal attempts in that time. So it's really just him having to hit a little bit more of that as far as his shot, especially from outside, is concerned, because he did have a somewhat decent stretch kind of leading into the new year. But then since then, he's just really, even in the minutes he's played, not been able to find his outside stroke from a consistent basis, and really not taking as many of them as you may expect. But really just hoping he'll hit a few more of those. Again, that 3,700 price tag gives you enough kind of a buffer room, given the fact that he's going to be a guy who'll play 30 plus minutes. And even if it is a really crappy night, he probably still ends up anywhere between 15 to 18 DK points there. So yeah, it's worth taking a shot for what we have there.
Some interesting picks. I guess I'll start from the bottom up, because you mentioned a player already, and that was Jake LaRavia. Like you said, he played 40 minutes, and he was been playing pretty solid as the last two games. And of course, with Vince Williams' questionable status, Santi Aldama's questionable status, there's a good chance that he probably has that same type of, I want to say, involvement in this game. Golden State, of course, I mentioned already, I think this game is going to be a pretty high scoring game, I think. Not a lot of defense played, in my opinion, especially if the Draymond Green doesn't play. So I think Jake LaRavia should be able to kind of get it back to his numbers that he's been able to achieve. And 4,600 is a really great price to go for. In the mid tier side, I'm going for, I guess, a questionable player. And that's Simone Fontecchio. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but this is a player who also, I want to say, if he decides to suit up, has been playing some solid basketball. If I can recall, I think it was like the last 7 or 8 games, I think it was only 2 games where he had under 20 DK fantasy points. The other were all above 30 DK fantasy points. He's been playing like around 35 minutes. And I think Asar Thompson's also injured for this game against Indiana. So if he suits up, I think this would be another great opportunity for him to kind of rack up around 30-plus DK fantasy points, and perhaps even more if he can get into great form, because there's been games where he's been able to get around 40 DK fantasy points, and of course that'd be amazing to see from him. And he also hasn't just been, like, I want to say, shooting the ball. He's been able to get you around, like, 7, 8 rebounds, a few assists, and a couple of stocks as well.
And honestly, at 5,700, that's amazing value that you can possibly get from him. But like I said, he is questionable. So you're probably going to check in on the late injury reports and see if he suits up. And if he does, I think he's definitely worth a shout. And then lastly, my upper tier, shooting guard / small forward. And you mentioned him, of course, in the shooting guard spot. And that was Paul George at 8,400. Dual eligibility, so I might be cheating here a bit. But he's been playing some great basketball. I think it was the game after Chicago where Tyronn Lue said we're going to be running the ball more in Paul George's hands. And he's right, because Paul George has definitely been much more comfortable. I think this was also the time around where Harden was out and Kawhi was playing. But Paul George definitely handled a lot more playmaking responsibilities. With this game coming up against the Trailblazers, like you said, it might be a blowout. So that's the only risk that's going to come with this. But I think even if with the availability of Harden and Kawhi, I don't think the streak with Paul George's of efficiency.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And like, just his involvement overall is going to stop. I think he's still going to be in great form and probably be the more consistent player out of the three, especially considering Harden is coming back from injury, so who knows how aggressive he is. But like I said, as long as this game could be competitive to at least the third quarter, I think you should be able to get some great value from Paul George, because at 8,400, especially with the numbers he's been producing, I think it's a really great price tag to go for.
Yeah, I like it. Hit the nail on the head, took the words right out of the mouth, all that good stuff to be able to go ahead. And clearly the player picture for today's podcast is going to have to be Paul George. So if he fails, you can't just blame one of us. It'll just have to be the both. But it's about the numbers making sense. I do like it, though. I think he is in a great matchup to be able to do some pretty big things over here. Moving into the power forward side of things, and we'll start nice and simple, right in the mid-tier over here. To me, a bit of a free square as far as what he is going to do with the minutes that he hopefully will continue to produce with, and that's Kelly Olynyk. Again, two matchups where they weren't amazing for him coming up against Orlando, not necessarily a good pace of play, not necessarily the kind of team being a little bit more guard heavy that would work really well in a matchup that Kelly Olynyk could potentially thrive in. But we did see, in matchups where there were a little bit more kind of traditional size, as we saw in Portland, Denver, Detroit, all three matchups where he did quite well for his individual performances. He should be able to do a lot more of that in this matchup against Sacramento, where he'll get to play against Sabonis, likely get a little bit more opportunities to be able to assert himself on both the offensive end and also just to be on the floor to be able to handle a lot of what's going to be coming from the Sacramento side, especially running through Sabonis over there. And you mentioned it. Sabonis is obviously an incredible player, has been putting up just monster stat lines game after game after game over here. But he's not necessarily going to be one who's looking to absolutely shut you down on the defensive end. He's still a solid defender, don't get me wrong there, but he's going to give opportunities for you to be able to go ahead and put a couple of buckets up there. So I expect that Kelly Olynyk, who has that ability to not only be pretty sneakily good around the rim, he's got a great touch there, but also with the ability to stretch the floor, he's going to keep getting those opportunities alongside Gary Trent as kind of the two main scorers as it stands with this current state of the Toronto Raptors. So 6,500 in a matchup where he's coming off of two down games, maybe that helps keep some of that ownership a little bit low here, but I expect that he will have a really good game coming into this one. And again, sticking with the mid-tier side of things and moving back over to the Miami-Cleveland game, which we haven't really jumped into too deeply so far. But we do know that, of course, Tyler Hero is going to remain out. Jimmy Butler is also coming questionable into this game with his injury as well. So Jaime Jaquez, who has, over the last two games, gotten the opportunity to play 35 minutes back-to-back in Detroit and Philadelphia matchups, putting up, you know, very solid 28 DK points in that time as well, sitting at 5,500 gives you a pretty good floor for you for what you can potentially expect. Again, not necessarily the highest upside player. He's not, you know, absolutely going to wow you with his capabilities to be able to score the ball. But what he can do is just really provide you with a little bit across the board. It's just a little sprinkle of everything. He's almost like a little Draymond Green as far as stat lines are concerned. May not necessarily get into double-digit scoring, but he'll usually find contributions, you know, 4 to 5 rebounds. He's been getting his assist numbers up, having 3 straight games of 4 assists or more, and he can get you the odd steal and the odd block that goes with that as well. And, you know, just altogether works out to a scenario where he's usually a pretty efficient scorer, can get his shots off pretty consistently there. And even though his last two games haven't necessarily been his best as far as pure scoring is concerned, the fact that he's getting those extra minutes and the fact that he's been able to put up those supporting stats have helped keep him afloat as far as his fantasy upside is concerned. And I expect in this Cleveland matchup again, where, you know, when you have kind of big twin towers that are there, sometimes you will have to be a little bit more of a kind of jump shooter and being able to take your shots from that kind of mid-range to outside there. So Jaquez, who has shown himself to be a pretty solid scorer, especially in that middle area there, should get opportunities to be able to try and do a little bit more of that and keep the offense flowing with a Miami team that will definitely need as much of that as possible. And then finally, going all the way down as far as value is concerned, and I feel like I'm just beating the same drum over here with the Toronto Raptors opportunities. And I swear, I'm not saying to just absolutely stack everyone, find what makes sense for you. But Jordan Nwora at 3,800 should once again be in a very, very good opportunity to be able to go ahead and put up numbers that will pretty comfortably beat that 3,800 price tag. He's done it for 3 straight games, despite not playing more than 25 minutes in any of those games and really not shooting out of this world. He has shot well in the last 2 games there, but, you know, given the places that he's usually shooting from and the fact that he's been, you know, asked to be a little bit more of a 3-point shooter for this team rather than being able to get inside. And so even though he's not necessarily lit the world on fire with his 3-point shot, shooting about kind of in the high 30s, low 40s over a small sample size, he is showing that he has got a little bit to his offensive game. And at 3,800 in an opportunity where he'll likely play 25 minutes here to try and keep things going, I like him as a upside pick for his value price.
Interesting picks. I can't say I disagree because Jordan Nwora is also the guy who I was thinking about. You know, I was doing this late and I was like, maybe I'm choosing too many Raptors. But I mean, I think you previously said it, right? The Raptors are missing a whole lot of starters. And a lot of these players are priced out pretty well. And like I said, I can't disagree because Jordan Nwora at 3,800, who's been around 20 DK fantasy points. I think one game he even reached 30, especially in this stage where the Raptors are done with competing. I mean, full on rebuilding, just letting these guys play. And Jordan Nwora is a scorer and he's been consistent. So hopefully in this game against Sacramento, I think he will get minutes once again, hopefully around that 20 minute mark. And I think he'll be able to exceed his value once again. 3,800 is a great price to go for him. I think he's one of those players you probably want to have if you're going for those high-end tier players, for perhaps the Dames or the Sabonises or whoever you want to go for in terms of the upper tier. I think Jordan Nwora completely fits that mold of having that cheap budget player to slot in so you can keep on spending. In mid-tier area, I think this is more upper mid-tier. I decided to go with Jalen Williams at 6,900. Not a player I usually go for often, but he's had some great games, and of course he has that up and down kind of situation as well, but overall I think he's been pretty solid. I want to say out of the past few games, the only one of course he struggled with was the Memphis one, where he only played 10 minutes. That's of course was also just a blowout game, but in the past 2 games he's had around 47 DK fantasy points priced at 6,900. I think going against Utah, of course, they do have a Walker Kessler, but
Jalen Williams has shown his capability to go against these rim protector type players. I mean, like I said, in the past matchup against Memphis, he had 46 DK fantasy points going against the Jaren Jackson Jr. So overall, I think Jalen Williams should be able to hopefully still reach his averages. I want to say, you know, expect him to get 50 DK fantasy points. Of course, that would be amazing. But generally, if he's hitting his averages, I think you're expecting him to get at least around 40 DK fantasy points, which is the normal. And at 6,900, I think that's still a really solid performance to get from him. The only thing you would probably want in this matchup, similar to what I said about the Paul George pick, where going against Portland, OKC is going against Utah, who is also, I want to say, throwing the white flag. So if this game could just be competitive enough where Jalen Williams plays a good amount of minutes to kind of get to those numbers, then that'd be amazing. But yeah, that's the only risk I would say you'd look out for in this type of matchup, because I mean, OKC could blow out Utah and you probably don't see enough minutes from Jalen Williams to get that production. And then lastly, my high tier pick is Pascal Siakam. I know you put him at small forward, so I think that was you finessing a bit. But overall, he's been up and down. Of course, I think you will mention him not being too much in the Indiana office, which I think is quite obvious. I mean, we all just know that Tyrese Haliburton and Siakam quite haven't figured each other out. Indiana in general has been up and down, had some wins and some losses which they should have won. But overall, I think Pascal Siakam, despite not being like fully integrated into the offense, has still had some pretty great performances. It's surprising because I think we've mentioned Siakam for like the past 2 or 3 weeks now, because he's been priced around this range, and it's just a range where you're so comfortable to go with, because I guess also because we're Raptor fans, so we know what Pascal's best performances look like and his stat lines look like. And I think one of them was kind of like featured in that Brooklyn game where he had 28 points for 11 rebounds. That's just a game where he's comfortable of, you know, a stat line where you're comfortable seeing from a Siakam type player. So I'm expecting, especially in this Detroit matchup, I think I'm going to reiterate what I just said for Jalen Williams and Paul George. But like I said, Detroit matchup, I want to say this would be a for sure blowout. Of course, I think the spread said they were winning by 9 points, if I'm not mistaken. But I generally think this will game because Indiana tends to struggle in games that they should win easily. So I think this game will require probably Pascal Siakam to kind of hit his averages. But even then, I'm looking at his worst nights in his past weeks, and it's still been around like 35 DK fantasy points. So you're not suffering too much of a loss, but I think the upside is much more higher that you're willing to take that chance, especially at a 7,700 price tag.
Yeah, no, I'd agree completely. And you know, when you put Pascal in a small forward, we don't call it finessing when we're talking about Pascal. It's spinning it, all right? That's what he does. So that's where we're going to go ahead and throw Pascal in there. But no, I agree with your points completely. And I think those are solid picks there. But going to the creme de la creme as far as the centers are concerned over here. And you know, there's a reason why I've been kind of more interested in some of these lower and mid-tier picks, value picks. You got to go Sabonis, man. You just have to go Sabonis in this matchup against the Toronto Raptors. There's just nobody who can hang with him as far as size is concerned. He obviously had a game already this season where he dropped 11 of 16 from the field en route to a 24-point triple-double, which was a 61 DK point night over there, and he barely broke a sweat in that time. It's just one of those things where Sabonis just absolutely owns the matchup in general, and now without Jakob Poeltl there to even be a little bit of a deterrent as far as size is concerned, he is just going to absolutely feast, because you're not going to put a Boucher on him, or you're going to try to put a Jontay Porter, or Kelly Olynyk, as much as I'm obviously hoping for his offensive side of things. I don't expect him to be much of a stopper to what Sabonis is going to be putting on him with some of his spins and fakes. So Sabonis just continues to be what should be, in my opinion, the highest DK point scorer on this slate in general. I'm obviously hoping that Tatum, having spoken about him a little bit earlier, is going to be that contrarian pick that could potentially challenge him for the crown up there. And I may kind of run them together in the hopes that they just go off for me and lead me to the promised land as far as GPPs are concerned. But Sabonis for sure is going to be my pillar play that I'm really going to hinge and build my lineup around and hope that the rest of it kind of works in place there. And to a little bit of a lesser degree in the mid-tier side of things, not necessarily the same kind of upside, especially kind of as of late where he's been a bit off and on. But I do think Chet Holmgren at his price tag of 7,200 is a really good spot to be able to go ahead and take him, especially in this matchup here where he has and now with that marketed there as well, he's found himself to be in a pretty dominant spot, averaging 41 DK points in the three games that he's played in only 29 minutes a game in that time. And, you know, his shooting lines are incredibly pristine against them. He shot 53% from outside alongside 53% from inside the three-point line as well. So there's a lot to like as far as his offensive upside is concerned. And really the only kind of worry that comes with him is when he gets that little bit more passive on the offensive end, because that usually leads to him not necessarily having the same kind of big block nights that you're obviously hoping from him. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about now, but you know, early on in the season, he was actually averaging about the same or more blocks than what Wembanyama was averaging. And now, obviously, Wemby's gone to another level as far as where he's at. And not that Holmgren is anything to sniff at. He's still averaging 2.5 blocks for the season. But some of those games that we were seeing early on where he was putting up 6-7 blocks on a somewhat consistent basis for what he was able to do, now that's kind of fallen off to the wayside, and it's come more into like the 1-2 range. So you're hoping that he can be a little bit more kind of block happy in a matchup where he should get a lot more opportunities with guards trying to come in at him, whether it be Jordan Clarkson, whether it be Sexton. He's got a bunch of options of guys that are going to be trying to go in at him, but it's just not necessarily the most fun spot for anyone to try and go up against Holmgren. So I'm hoping that he can have one of his earlier season nights here and continue on that stretch of great games that he has been having up against the Utah Jazz. And then as far as the value side of things are concerned, and really this is more me kind of taking a little bit of a absolutely contrarian pick as far as kind of what we've been seeing as of late, and that is the corpse of James Wiseman, who went ahead and came back in that last game against Boston, got to play 26 minutes in that one there. And really, some of it was obviously led by the fact that he is playing in a team that's going to get blown out pretty often over here. In that Indiana-Detroit game, he could very well find himself in a scenario where he's doing that again. But the good thing about him is that he has shown capability to be a pretty good points per minute producer as far as his fantasy upside is concerned. So for a guy who's sitting at 4,300, he really just needs about, I would say, 24 to 25 minutes to be able to get to kind of that near 30-plus DK point upside over there in a matchup, as we said. We've said it a bunch of times, the pace is there, but more so than that, they have Miles Turner to be able to go ahead and contend with, and obviously with Pascal Siakam, Detroit is going to want to put as much potential size out there to be able to try and deter what the tweeners and really a bunch of unicorns as far as the front court of Indiana is concerned for what they can end up doing. And obviously Jalen Duren being a little bit more of a traditional big in what he is going ahead and doing. Wiseman, on the other hand, being a little bit more switchable and being able to go ahead and chase big men out to the perimeter could be what we need a little bit more of, especially with Isaiah Stewart also being out for that game. So very limited options as far as the size is concerned for Detroit, and Wiseman should find himself in a decent opportunity to be able to produce there.
Interesting picks. I had a feel you were going to go for Sabonis. I mean, I probably had the same approach. I mean, going for the K's and the Paul George. And that was, I mean, like you said, I mean, the Raptors, whenever it's the center matchup against them, I think it's quite an easy one to take with because, I mean, like you said, they're going against Kelly Olynyk and Jontay Porter, who, I mean, they've been solid for the Raptors, but of course they're not defensive centers, and they're also not, they don't have any height to them either. So Sabonis is probably going to just dominate completely. But I'm just hoping this game can just be close and Sabonis can just have a monster game. I'll take the blowout, the close game, and Sabonis having a great game, because that would just be amazing for DFS wise. I mean, I previously went for a player, like, I think it was Jalen Duren actually against the Raptors, and he ended up having like a 20-20 game. And so I mean, every center should be able to eat against the Raptors, and I think Sabonis will happily do that. I guess not mid tier, but it's more like towards the lower side mid tier, and that's Trayce Jackson-Davis. This is just one of those slot and plays, because if Draymond Green decides to play, then obviously that reduces the possible production you can get from a player like him. because in the last game, he had a pretty monster one in the 26 minutes that he played against the Knicks. 40 DK fantasy points, had 20 points, around 10 rebounds and 3 blocks, and did not miss a shot. Didn't miss a free throw, though. So I think at 4,900, if Draymond Green decides not to play, I think this is one of those picks that you want to have. Really, like I said, in between the budget and mid-tier area, and just overall, really solid pick to go for, especially in that Memphis matchup where I think they're probably going to reside for him over perhaps a couple on Looney. And then lastly, I guess, why in the Raptors train there and not go for Jonte Porter? Because at 4,000, of course, you mentioned Kelly Olynyk, but I like Jonte Porter in this matchup because he's also been quite an easy budget player to go for because he's been able to get around 20 DK fantasy points, especially in that Detroit game. He had 38. But like I said, another offensive-minded center, I think I probably went for him because maybe the guy decided to go for like a double big man lineup with him and Olynyk. He's been able to show some playmaking too and have some rim protection. Of course, he's not a rim protector, but he's been able to get like a couple of blocks here and there, which has been really great to see. So overall, price at 4,000, that's why Jonte Porter is appealing to me.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting way to be able to go. As you said, they're going to try and throw whatever they can out there. And while Jonte may not be as naturally athletic or offensively gifted as his brother in the NBA, he has shown himself to be a pretty viable rotation guy and probably has shown some pretty good flashes that could keep him with either Toronto or at least in the NBA for a longer period of time and develop some of that game. So, I mean, firstly, I think he's played very solidly and we'll see what that translates to as far as minutes are concerned. But that does bring us to the end of as you said, a pretty interesting slate in the sense of, you know, not necessarily all just studs that are looking here. And even in the stud categories, you're potentially thinking about all the spreads that we're seeing here where we could be seeing some blowouts, where we could be seeing minutes be either spread around or restricted a little bit more than what we might otherwise hope. So you're really hoping that one of your pillar plays can go about and put up the kind of numbers you expect and not end up being the reason why your lineup ends up drowning for the night there. But again, it's always tough to be able to see it. You want to keep yourself in the know all the way through with the Sports Ethos DFS pass, so that live injury report can keep you company all the way up until lineup lock, so you can make those last minute changes, make those adjustments to get your lineup all the way to the top. But if you do have any feedback on how things are going and how your lineup process works, definitely reach out to myself on Twitter and Instagram at HAK_Devil. Talk to me about how you are dealing with some of these silly season lineups and some of these matchups that are just showing up some spreads that at this point, it's like every game is expected to be a blowout. It's hard to be able to work with that. And of course, I think some of us have one eye leading into the playoffs where we can hopefully get a little bit more semblance of sanity there. And Ramiza, take us to the end. Where can people find you?
They can find me at Twitter as well at two nice spell TO0_nice_. And yep, just hit me up if you want to talk hoops or even footy. I like to watch some footy as well.
Okay. Well, we had the Champions League draw come up a little while ago, so I'm sure we've got some pretty exciting matches coming up there as well. So hit up Ramiz and let him know that Man City's not winning anything. All right. So we will see you on the next one. But until then, let's go ahead and take down some of these GPPs.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.